irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, May 12th. I'm joined once again by Lauren. Welcome back, Lauren.
Hello. This is my last day before Jen comes back.
It is. I know. Now that I'm getting used to coming in here, now Jen's going to come back.
Now she's going to come in and just ruin it. Just kidding, Jen.
Yeah. Only a best friend could say that.
That's
anybody
right.
else would... She would not be okay
We're
with that.
We're allowed to poke fun because we love her.
There you go. And you guys do a show together. Tell us a little bit about
we
that.
We host a show together called Two Drunk Girls on YouTube. You can go to youtube.com/twodrunkgirlsTV. I think that's right.
Jen's all you have to do is search.
If I got it wrong. Well, if you search Two Drunk
YouTube.
Girls, yeah. you might get something different.
Really?
Yeah.
On YouTube, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But if you search Two Drunk Girls TV, you will get us. And we just talk about, you know, your latest entertainment news with booze. We drink a drink. We tell you the drink recipe. And then we give you our opinions.
Sounds good. And you also have a website, too. People can see it on the website,
right? twodrunkgirls.net. And then you can also find us on various shows at AfterBuzz TV, where we do, like, post-game wrap-ups for TV shows.
Yeah, you guys should definitely catch them there. Do you guys do a show together there, too?
Yes, we do. We're going to do an after show for Frankie and Grace. It's a new Netflix show with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin.
Really?
Produced by Marta Kaufman, the old Friends creator, producer. Uh-huh. So that's actually tonight. Jen's going to miss that show, but we're doing that after show tonight at 6:30. So you can tune into AfterBuzzTV.com and watch us there, too.
Awesome.
Yeah, every week. Yeah.
So that show started already?
That show, well, they really, you know, it's Netflix. So they release the whole season, and then you, like, binge watch.
Oh, I see. So,
but because traditionally the way that shows work, it's, like, once a week.
Right.
So AfterBuzz format is set up where you watch the show. You host the after show, and that usually happens once a week. So instead of us sitting and talking about, like, 20 episodes, we're just breaking them into each episode a week.
Right.
Even though you can have watched them all already.
That's interesting. So they release the whole season when they do?
Yeah. On Netflix, they do it like that. So, like, House of Cards, you know, the Kevin Spacey one that everyone freaks out about.
Yeah.
You binge watch. You can watch it. They release it in a season. So just you can watch as many as you want. Which is, I mean, good thing they didn't do that with Homeland, because I would never have left I wouldn't have been able to stop.
Yeah. Huh?
Like, that show was like murder for me.
A lot of people swear by that show.
Sam, have you not ever
no,
seen it?
No, I never. I don't watch TV at all, you know. The most I watch is news. But, I just have the news playing in the background. I never really sit down and watch. So I don't get into any shows, you know, but I know... People love Homeland, you know?
It changed. The first season was like, if you turn it on, you will not be able to stop. Every single episode ends with, like, the best cliffhanger you could ever imagine, where you're like, I can't wait for the next episode. I didn't see the first season in real time, so I binge watched it kind of like a Netflix style.
Right.
And I, like, did not leave my house. I couldn't go to sleep at night. I was
serious?
Dreaming that I was Carrie and I worked for the CIA and that the freaking terrorists were chasing me. It was like a real thing. I literally called Time Warner Cable and was like, because I couldn't find season two. I finished season one. Season two was in the middle of itself, so it wasn't released on Netflix yet. So I called Time Warner Cable. It was like, can you please hook up HBO or Showtime or whatever Showtime? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, if you hook it up right now, can I watch Homeland right now? And they're like, yeah. I was like a crackhead. I was like, hook it up. It could not get in my vein fast enough.
Wow.
It was so good.
Well, it must be. I mean,
now I suggest you watch it.
It's a must watch.
It's a must watch.
Wow. We weren't here yesterday. My parents arrived from Israel.
Yeah,
so that's cool.
Tell us about that. What happened? How'd it go?
Well, it went great. You know, I mean, they were just here like back in January. So,
okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't like we missed them a lot, but now they're here to stay. So that's a cool
thing. Are they happy with the place that you have set up for them and all of that?
Yes, they're pretty happy with it. So it's just going to take some time for them to get acclimated, I think.
I'm sure, yeah.
And they're probably going to, like, after a week or so, oh, we want to go back or something. But, you know, they can't.
That's when you're like, nope, not happening. That's normal, though, I'm feeling. They're going to go through, like, the missing home type thing. And, you know, I'm sure having their moments of we love it here or maybe not so much. It's a big difference, you know.
Yeah. They have to move at an older age. It's hard, you know, to a new culture.
Yeah.
But they'd lived here, so.
Yeah, this is not their first time.
Going on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. How was your birthday?
My birthday was fun. It wasn't too wild. We went and had some a brunch down in Sunset Plaza.
Oh, nice.
Which is cool there. Have you ever eaten there at one of the restaurants?
Yeah, where were you? At the French one? La Petite?
We went to that one, but we wanted breakfast and they didn't have any anymore. So we had to go across the street to another cool place. I just don't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool.
It's really pretty there too.
Yeah.
And you sit on Sunset Boulevard, you get to look in. It's a nice...
Right, yeah. Everybody rides with their beautiful cars.
Yeah.
Trying to get attention.
That's right.
Yeah. There's nothing like Sunset Boulevard. You know, you look at those huge billboards.
Oh, yeah.
As tall as a building, and there's nothing like it anywhere.
I know. It's its own unique little piece of vanity.
Yeah. I know. There's so much to talk about. In a few minutes, we're going to bring in our guest who's sitting here patiently. We have a musical guest today, so that would be cool. We get to listen to some awesome music.
That's right.
And but there's still so much to talk about. I wanted to ask you about Mother's Day. So how was your Mother's Day with Mom?
Mother's Day was good. My mom was here. She's just leaving now at the
airport. Oh, she's leaving right now?
Yeah, she's at the airport right now.
Okay, so she was with you for what, a week or so?
For a week, yeah.
Oh, nice.
We went to a really good restaurant called Terrine on Beverly Boulevard in West Hollywood. Super good food. We ordered way too much.
Really?
Well, because it's kind of like a family style menu, so we're like, we'll take that and that and that, and then it all came to the table and we were like, oh mother of God, this is a lot.
How are we gonna eat all of this?
And I managed, obviously.
You did.
That's what I do. Can't help myself when there's food in front of me. I'm like, and I want to try it. It's not even a hunger thing.
Yeah,
like, I'll get to a party and there's a buffet table and I'm like, I just ate, but I want to try that, and I want to try that, and that looks good. And I just, that's where you'll, every party you'll find me by the food.
Really? Well, that's interesting, but you probably like exercise and stuff, right?
Oh, well, I mean, I have to exercise.
You would probably weigh a lot more if you just ate all the time.
I would definitely, and I definitely have some areas that need work, so I work out so that
don't we all, right?
We all do. Yeah. No, but Mother's Day was good. We had a really good brunch. We, you know, spent the week shopping and doing fun stuff. We got our nails done, you know, all that jazz.
That's
nice. I was kind of annoyed, though. The weather, what is up with this weather?
Yeah, I know. It's not hot. It's not cold. It's it changes every day,
weird.
Right?
Weird. And then it's like going to rain. And I'm sorry, when November was around and it was the holidays and we wanted it to feel like Christmassy,
right,
it was 98 degrees every day.
Yeah.
Now it's like, okay, my tan is fading and I'm really annoyed.
Yeah.
This is killing my vibe.
I know. It's like we're not getting seasons here anymore. It's just hot or cold, you know?
It's just on its own world and it's annoying.
Yeah.
That's what I think about it.
And we do need a lot of water here, but I don't think we'll ever make up for what we've lost, you know.
But it is supposed to rain, I think, in a couple of days.
That's what they say. They always say that. And it barely rains. I mean, here rain is not rain.
It barely rains, and then people freak out.
I know.
You're like, oh my God, it's flooded. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah,
it's just
like
sprinkling.
Storm warnings when it's just like mist.
Down. Yeah, and then my iPhone gives me like a flash flood warning alert in the middle of the night. I'm like, no, it's fine. We're going to be okay.
No flash flooding here.
Yeah, please, come on. So ridiculous.
The most we get here is winds, strong winds.
And then like the streets get all weird, like the water will pile up and it's like a big puddle and like nobody can drive. It's like, oh God, it's not Lake Michigan. It's a puddle. Chill.
Yeah. Up in San Francisco, you probably get a lot of rain, right?
Yeah. It rains more there, but it's not like it's
but
Seattle.
It's still
style.
Been bad these years, these past few years.
I feel
too.
Like California is just dry. I mean, I haven't lived there in a while, but it's definitely colder and a little more rainy there. But for the most part, especially if you're in San Francisco, the weather is a little different, but in the suburban areas around, it's just like L.A.
Yeah,
it's the same
that's
weather.
True.
Yeah.
It's just that it's probably surrounded by water and stuff, so it gets overcast.
Exactly.
Right?
It's that, like, marine layer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I've yet to meet anybody who said, I did not like San Francisco when they went to visit.
There's no reason not to like it.
Yeah, it's just got such a vibe to it.
It does. And I know some people, you know, they say like New York is a little too fast-paced for them. San Francisco has that feel, but it's not, it's a little mellower.
Right.
I love New York. New York's my favorite place in the world. Yeah. But San Francisco, you know, it's similar-ish to that. Feels a little more compact.
Exactly, because you have a downtown to speak of, and people walk and things like that. More
beautiful
like New
old
York.
Buildings that you don't get here.
Yeah,
that history, that you know, things like that. It's cool in that sense. Yeah, and the weather is a little bit different, obviously, than New York, but it has the same similar feel.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
So your mom went back to San Francisco?
She's at the airport flying back. And I'm so excited. I just made a trip up to wine country for July. My friend has a cabin up at the Russian River where, like, you know, the vineyards are Napa near that area. And I grew up going to this cabin with her because that's, you know, it's like an hour, 45-minute drive. So every summer we'd go up there and we hang out at the beach by the river and just be
fun.
Yeah, it's a little private community. Well, they have like a theme night every year. And this year it's Oktoberfest. So I booked my ticket. I'm going up there. We're going to wear lederhosen. And we're going to just like, hey, it's so fun up there. It's called Summer Home Park. It's a private community on the Russian River. And it is so fun, and I just booked my ticket. I'm so excited.
Wow, how cool.
Yeah, so I get that'll
go.
Be my
you
next trip.
You know
trip.
How to travel.
That'll be my next trip up there, yeah.
Yeah, and that's in June, you said?
In July.
Oh, in July. Mm-hmm. Oktoberfest in July. That's interesting.
Well, they just picked a theme. Like, yeah, last theme night I went to was Kentucky Derby. It was like, you know, they just like pick a dumb theme. And dress up and drink. It's really just an excuse to dress up and drink.
Yeah. So, there you go. Yeah. And for one half of the two drunk girls, that's just up your alley there.
That's, hey, I'll drink for her too.
Yeah. There you go.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah. So just quickly, I guess there was another earthquake in Nepal this morning.
I saw something about that. How big was it?
7.3.
Sam, yeah. It's terrifying.
The poor people there, you know.
No, I'm so scared. I know,
it
really freaks me out. I can't. It's so scary. And then whose dumb idea was it to make that stupid movie called San Andreas where it's like,
That's what I was thinking.
No, I am sorry, but that movie.
You're not going to go see that.
Make a movie about freaking zombies or something that's not really going to happen, but that's not a funny joke.
Yeah.
Especially to the girl that lived in San Francisco when the 7.0 happened in 1989. Not funny when the earth opens up and everything's falling everywhere.
Right.
Don't make a movie about that.
Yeah. And that movie, Earthquake, they introduced a system called Sensoround. You talked about the movie, right? Earthquake?
Wait, no, I don't know. San Andreas is the movie I'm talking
about. Right,
but
then you said something else. I don't know. But there was a movie called Earthquake, which took place in L.A.
Ugh.
And that was like back in the 70s or 80s. In the 70s, that movie was out. So they introduced Sensoround. What they did is they put like really big bass subwoofers and things like that at the theater, and every time there was a rumble, you'd feel like the rumble. Yeah,
we don't need to mess around with that yet.
I know, we don't need any more realism than what we have already.
I don't like the earthquake. There was another earthquake, I think, near Hawaii or something, too, a couple days ago. I don't know, but I don't like this stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's like you never know where you'll be, you know?
Yeah.
And that's
everyone's
scary.
Like, oh, hurricanes are terrifying. I'm not saying they're not. They are. They are very scary, and God forbid, I don't want anybody to get hurt or die from them, but like at least you get a warning.
Right.
Even a minute warning for an earthquake. Do you know how many people would be saved?
Right.
Like, I can't.
Yeah, and let's say you can hide in basements and things like that.
Yeah,
you know,
earthquakes, it's like you kind of.
There's nowhere to go.
You don't know when they're starting, when they're stopping, how big they're going to be. Nothing.
Right.
Just
nothing.
Happens.
Right.
And they're really terrifying. Whoever has never felt one that's big, I'm sorry to say, but they are the worst things in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely terrified. Can you tell? I literally get anxiety. I've made Jen, but she's from Miami, so she's never really felt an earthquake. She's like, no, it's fine. I sleep through them. I'm like, Jennifer Golden, no, you will not. She's like, I am now legitimately terrified. Thank you for scaring me. I'm like, well, it's real and it's probably going to happen. Knock on wood. Right. So be ready.
Yeah. Whatever that means, right?
To be ready. I don't even know. If it's big enough, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
So.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to get to our guest. There's just something here. an article about when couples are out of sync about sex.
Oh.
And I think everybody's been in a relationship. I think in most relationships, like one is in the mood. I'm not talking about the beginning. The beginning, yeah. Everybody wants to get laid all the time. Right? Until the honeymoon period is over, and then one person wants it more than another.
Yes.
But look what a great discovery they made, that men can often orgasm more quickly during sex than women. Isn't that like groundbreaking?
Are you kidding me?
We really needed a study for that, right?
I'm sorry, what? Are they kidding? What is that?
Yeah.
That's a really
It's like, duh, right? It's the biggest duh of the week.
Hello?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a ridiculous piece of information that I think every woman would laugh at.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's usually the way it goes down, so.
Right. I know. So they call it mismatched libidos, and some women are saying, you know, why can't we be more in sync? Why don't we want to have sex as much as our husbands do? But of course, in some relationships, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
But I think it's also, I think when relationships hit like a wall or something, when one person wants it more than the other or whatever. You know?
My opinion on this is that women are a lot more emotional and mental than men. Generally speaking.
Right.
So I think that, like, for us to feel in the mood for something like that, we need to feel like emotionally sexy, or we need to feel good about ourselves, or you need to be making us feel good. It's less about like a visual, like, hey, you look at your man.
Right.
And you're
exactly.
Like, oh, hey, want to. No.
Exactly.
That's how it is for a dude. They look at you, or you breathe, you touch
exactly.
your leg, and
yeah.
they're like, whoa.
You see a body part, and that's it, you know?
It's not like that for us. It's
a
little more complicated.
I know. So that's what they're talking about, is some women may not go through the transition between, like, if they're not in the mood and they have sex, they haven't gone through that period, that stage of transitioning. And
but
you know,
also,
I
will say this. I think you need to keep in mind that that's kind of the reality, and that the men are usually more wanting to do it more often. And so I think your responsibility in a relationship is to fulfill needs sometimes.
Right.
Even if you're not in the mood. I mean,
and that's what they're saying. So he doesn't go somewhere else, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, come on. It's your boyfriend or your husband. Like, it's not the worst thing ever. You just get,
right.
And sometimes you don't feel like you're in the mood, and then you start to get into it, and then you are in the
right.
mood. So you got to, like, you know.
That's true.
You got to give a little.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Well, you guys can read the rest of the article on CNN.com. It's like sort of like a duh article.
I know. It sounds like it.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything new here.
Yeah. Well.
All right. Well, let's bring in our guest who's sitting here patiently and asking, what the hell are they talking about? We have Mr. Kobe Mike in the studio. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Sam.
Of
thank
course.
Thank you for having me, Lauren.
Of course.
And thank you for waiting patiently
course,
for your turn.
Of course.
I was
very
stuff,
entertained
you know?
By all the jibber jabber.
We try.
I know, we just shoot the breeze in the morning, you know, whatever comes up first.
Sex, earthquakes, you know, it all ties in
it
somehow.
It all mixes together, right?
I was having a hard time not jumping in.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can jump in now. Was there anything you wanted to comment on? What we said about the earthquake?
You can keep going here.
Okay. How long have you lived in L.A. now?
I've lived in L.A. for just about a year.
Okay, so you haven't experienced a major earthquake
Actually, no, I haven't. I was going to say that.
Yeah.
I have not experienced any earthquakes yet.
You didn't feel any of the ones
y'all freaking me out.
Wait a second. There was like 3.5 earthquakes in the past.
Nah,
I
didn't get them.
Those are too small, kind of. Some
Sam,
people don't feel them.
Okay, well, I felt
no, because it depends where it is.
I'm on high alert, too.
Yeah. Well, just to make you feel good, Kobe, we're sitting on top of a freaking fault
right
here.
Wait,
right?
Is there seriously a fault like right underneath us right
well,
now?
Well, I mean, that's where the Northridge earthquake started, and that's like about 10 miles from here. Yeah. So, yeah, we are sitting on top of a volcano almost.
Well, I think I'm in for a treat.
There you go. So where did you move here from?
I moved here from Boston, actually.
Oh,
I lived
really?
In Boston for about 7 years. Yeah.
Really?
So do you have or can you give us a Boston accent? Because I'm just going to say that might be my favorite thing in the world.
I guess a beers?
Yeah. Yes. Now when you say it like that, yes, sir. Everyone makes fun of me, but I don't like a French accent or like a British accent. Well, those are okay, but I like an accent like that.
Yeah.
Like a rough sounding
it's cool.
One.
With some beers after the show.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
You don't like French? Like, but of course.
No. Ugh. No? Get out of here with that.
It's such a sexy
no,
language.
It is not. Maybe for a woman.
Well, not necessarily. If I play you like a couple of like French songs I know.
No.
Like sensuous songs where a man and a woman talk and stuff. And that's very sensuous.
I don't like the way it sounds. No, I like the way that sounds.
Yeah.
Have you been to Boston?
Imagine, yeah.
You have?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I like it.
Now, I imagine you, well, if you only lived here for 7 years, you probably are not going to have the accent, right?
No, well,
because you get the accent where you grow up.
Yeah, I moved out there, like, you know, after high school, so I was, my Minnesota accent was already pretty thick before I got out there.
Oh, really?
So, Minnesota, huh?
Where in Minnesota are you from?
Very far north, a town called Lutzen, Minnesota. It's really small. It's
really?
Right on Lake Superior, yeah. Oh. It's like a little ski hill there, and it's very quaint and artsy and very nature and woodsy and beautiful. And
so you grew up in a very small place?
Very small town. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then you decided, what the heck, this is too small for me. I'm moving to Boston.
Yeah, why Boston?
Well, I moved to Minneapolis first.
Oh, okay. You did?
Yeah, yeah. I have some family down there, and I finished high school down in Minneapolis. And then, to answer your question, I moved to Boston for Berklee.
Oh,
College of Music. I went to college there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
They have a college there named Berklee?
Indeed.
Really? Like we do here in California.
Not UC, but the music.
Yeah.
There's a Berklee. I feel like there's another. Is that the only location for the music college? Because I feel like there's a one in California that's also called Berklee College of Music.
I know that Berklee kind of spreads out a lot. Like,
okay.
They have little section here, little section there. But the main part of the school is in Boston. So.
Awesome. Okay, so you were there for... So wait, so then you... Hold on. This sounds like a lot of fun. So you were in... How close were you to, like, the Harvard kids and all those, like...
Oh, a couple miles, I guess.
So it was, like, a fun college town.
Boston's the college town.
Really?
Sure.
I would die.
Yeah.
I would not be able to concentrate on anything at all.
Okay. Did you go to college, Lauren?
I did.
Where did you go?
I went to UC San Diego, which was definitely not like that big of a party school.
It's not? I thought it was.
San Diego State in that area, like more inland San Diego, but we were like in La Jolla, which is like the snootiest, most uptight Republican town in the world.
Yeah.
And it was pretty. It was like a very rich neighborhood with like a college campus right in the middle of it. So we couldn't even have a sorority or fraternity row because La Jolla wouldn't allow that.
I always wondered what it'd be like to go to college out here. It would seem like it'd be a lot of fun because it's just like summer all year long. Or, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it was nicer weather, but I would, if I could choose, I would be in your area. So you must have loved Boston so much after 7 years, obviously you stayed.
Yeah. I love the East Coast. I still love it. It's like, it's totally a home.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
So you went to study music.
Indeed.
Wow. Yeah. So now, but when you moved to Minneapolis, that was pretty young, right? You said before
finished
high school.
I was about 16 when I moved down to Minneapolis.
So what made you want to move back then?
Move
from your small town to Minneapolis.
A school open to the public, funded by the state, called Perpich Center for Arts Education. It was like an arts high school, so I got to go there and play music for my high school.
Yeah,
and it was funded by the state. It was arts magnets program. They had all different kinds of art areas there. They had visual arts, literary, media, and music, and dance, and all that stuff. And it was just kind of like a dream come true for my last 2 years of high school. So that's why I moved down
there.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah.
I read that you knew you wanted to sing when you were like 8 years old, sing and play the guitar,
I was singing and playing guitar and performing out live and recording by the time I was 14.
So this was like, you knew this, that's where you were going.
It's never been anything else.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
You see, that's the thing is that I started playing guitar at about 12, 13. And I loved it. I used it mainly to...
You play guitar still?
Yeah. Not anymore, though. I mean, I can.
Okay.
But I just try to pick it up again.
I don't know. I just don't have the connection.
To accompany me. No, not to woo women.
I was like, what are you going to say?
No.
I use it mainly to get the pants off of the chick.
I know some guys do that.
Well, it
works.
But
no, it never worked for me. But no, I used it to accompany my singing, you know, because...
Sam, you sing?
I sing, yeah.
I know this about you.
But yeah, so that's what I used the guitar for. And then, so I never really planned on making a big deal out of it. I mean, obviously, I wanted to be a rock star and everything, but I never really pursued this. I never had that point of like, no, that's the only thing I have, you know. So So you knew early on that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, I knew right away. As soon as I saw Jimi Hendrix burn his guitar, really? I was like, that's
really?
It.
Really? That was your aha moment?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Sure. No doubt.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty epic moment to watch, but I wasn't expecting you to say that. So wait, then what kind of music do you... I mean, I've listened to some of your music, and the two songs that you released sound different than like another song I heard you singing. You were playing the guitar. It was on some girl's blog. I don't know the name of the guy you were singing with. He was a very attractive black man.
Oh.
You were, whatever that was, sounded much different than...
Oh, yeah, that's my friend Rebel.
Okay, well...
A blog, though. I'm not sure what
I thought it was I read some girl's blog.
It was on YouTube, probably,
or maybe,
right?
It was a link.
Was it black and white?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So that sounded really kind of, like, gritty and soulful.
Yeah.
So, but is Jimi Hendrix, like, an inspiration for you? Like, where do you draw inspiration from?
So many inspirations. I just could never name them all. They're always changing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That was, like, Jimi was, like, the early years.
Right.
You know, he was, like... when I was 12 years old, and he was the one who made me want to pick up an instrument.
Yeah.
You know? So, but it's changed so much.
Yeah.
It's always changing.
What is it right now?
Right now, I really like. I'm just. I don't latch on to influences like I did when I was growing up.
Right.
Now
right.
I'm just like, I like that. That's really cool.
Right.
But
exactly. Yeah.
There's so much stuff like Little Dragon. Are you familiar with them? I love Little Dragon. Big Data is really cool. Jamie Liddell is really cool. So many.
Yeah,
so
very
many.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you write your music in addition to performing it?
Yeah, I write and produce all my own music.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get a little taste of the music so we can continue talking about the music. So these are the two songs that are what? The latest that you have?
And, yep.
And so you released an EP.
Actually, I just released these two singles. I'm going to release an EP very soon.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay, very cool.
I actually brought you guys a couple of copies.
Yay.
I left them in my car, though, so I'll go get them.
<That's>
Well,
right.
We'll go downstairs with you.
Okay, cool.
So introduce the first song to us.
Okay. I'm not sure what you have
pulled
up there.
I have First Snow and Walking Through the Fire.
Cool. First Snow. That was a song I wrote. I actually wrote it on the first day of snow, and that's kind of where the title came from.
Oh.
But the song is kind of about a yearning to go out and explore the world and to take risks. That's what the song is really about.
Awesome. So. And you write the music as well, right? The composition and all that. So, okay, let's go ahead and listen to Kobe Mike. The song is First Snow, and we'll be back with you in a moment. What's the matter?
Is the mic off?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I can talk to you guys? Okay, cool.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought it was the wrong song or something. You gave me a signal.
No, it's fine.
Oh, okay. Let's continue.
It's breaking through the windows in my room. I'm not ready. I gotta get up on my feet. Oh, yeah. I said, I gotta get up. I gotta get up. Slipping into something that I lose altogether. I gotta get up, I gotta get up on my feet. Oh yeah. I said I gotta get up, I gotta get up on my feet.
I lost it, I lost it all. I can't run no matter where.
Kobe Mike, First Snow. I love the song, man. I mean, this is like, it's you have like a unique sound.
Thank you.
Obviously, great voice. And so did you ever work on your voice, like voice coaching and things like that? Or did you just learn pretty much?
Mostly on my own.
Yeah,
I took like one or couple lessons early on. Mm-hmm. And then from there on, I just really worked at it on my own.
Very cool. Yeah. You reached some really high notes.
Oh, yeah.
I was telling him his falsetto is very nice. That's a high note.
Yeah.
Indeed. Everyone.
Yeah. But I mean, you reach high without even going into falsetto, which is pretty
Oh,
hard,
I don't know. Explain what you mean by that. I don't know what that means.
Explain to her. Well, falsetto, it's like a false voice. It's like, where do you go like that? You know?
Okay.
As opposed to really forceful.
Oh, just like a high. Okay.
Right.
So it's like
really
a less of a.
Yeah. Like falsetto is like the Bee Gees, if you've listened to them, you know, where they're really high.
Okay.
Indeed. I happen
so
to love the Bee Gees.
Not all high notes are falsetto.
No, exactly. Oh,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's like a breaking point in your voice where you kind of either have to switch over to it or I think more
or
males.
Or you kill your throat completely. I know.
Yeah. I'm sure you obviously, you know this, and maybe it was introduced to you when you took like the couple lessons. But singing is so much about breathing too, which I don't think people realize.
Yeah, you have to have a lot of breath support to be a fantastic singer, I think. Anyway.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, absolutely. You have to control your vocal cords and everything. I've seen like it's. I mean, they show you like what the throat looks like inside and all that stuff, so you can control it.
Of course.
So I never took any lessons, but so I know sometimes I sing the wrong way, and then I strain my.
And you can tell,
my vocal cords too much.
Yeah, you can feel it.
You can feel it when you're not doing it right.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely practice can take you up higher, right?
Yeah, I mean, your voice is a muscle, like every other muscle, so it has to be exercised a lot in order to stay in shape.
Right.
If you don't sing, you're not going to, you know, and then you go to a show or something like that, or the studio, and you try to go perform, it's not going to be strong.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like every other
muscle. Why, you know, singers do vocal warm-ups and what have you.
Yeah,
because,
right, yeah. You know, yeah, if you reach falsetto, then it's not strong. That's the difference.
Oh.
You know, when he says you have to sound strong, then and then falsetto is not strong. So that's the main difference. But great song. So when did you write this one?
I wrote that a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
A couple years ago, and I just finished recording it this last year.
Cool.
Actually, early January, I finished the recording and released the song.
Do you have like a way that you typically like attack writing a song? Like, do you start just with the lyrics, or do you hear a melody in your head, or both?
Yeah,
or?
I usually start just kind of in my home studio, just recording ideas, kind of recording loops. Could be a 4-bar loop, and then kind of building off those loops from there. And usually, the lyrics come later.
Okay.
Once I already know what the vibe is.
Okay.
And I already have the melody. The melody always comes first.
That makes
sense.
For
me, usually. Rarely they come at the same time. Sometimes the lyrics and melody just kind of come at the same time.
But, right. But it's also because you're a product of new technology and everything, you know, I mean.
Exactly.
It used to be where you know, you'd only do it with a song. There's no like loops. There's no like, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah,
so you pretty much had to just either, you know, start with the music in your head, like you said, or with the lyrics, and then you put music to the lyrics, you know. But today you can actually build like the whole band before
right
you
there.
Even put the song together.
Yeah, the
right?
technology is definitely a big part of it.
Right.
For sure.
Cool.
I still like to just write on my acoustic guitar and kind of do it, you know, old school like that.
Right.
But there's something about recording the idea as soon as you have it that it's just you capture a moment that you could never get back. You know what I mean?
That's true.
And
that's true.
And then you can refer to that moment and develop
it. So you got to record it as soon as it comes.
Well,
out.
You probably also
helps.
There's like energy and something behind whatever is in your voice in that moment that
exactly.
you got to capture the sound of it instead of like writing it down. You might
yeah, yeah, there, yeah,
something
yeah.
might get lost in the time lapse.
It's funny you say that because I often, like, I'll write the melody first and I'll just kind of sing some gibberish and record it
right.
with, like, the melody that I'm hearing. Right. And then I'll go back and try to, like, I'll write lyrics to it okay. or whatever. And right. then I'll go back and sing it again and I'll be, right. okay, this is the time. And I'm like, this is real now. And then I'm just like, well, this sounds like crap. Because, I don't know, there's something about that moment of, like, when it's just coming out naturally. It's, like, that special. Then when you try to recreate it,
right.
you always lose something. Yeah. Pretty much
true.
Always.
Yeah, it happens know? To me, too. I mean, I used to write songs. I don't anymore. And I try to pick up the guitar again recently. I lost the connection to it, you know?
Sure.
And I think I know why. Because, as I said, I used to play it so I can sing with it. And today, you can have karaoke. You can have, you know, you can compose your own stuff. So you can sing and sound a lot more professional.
Oh.
And I think I kind of lost that acoustic sound. Although I like to play electric guitar. But when you play electric guitar just for the fun of it, it doesn't sound as cool as, you know, when you have like the whole band.
Sure, the whole band.
Right. So now, did you start bands like back in Boston and stuff?
Before that even. Before? Like in my mom's garage.
That's so like cliche.
It's true, but literally grew up in garage bands throughout my whole teenage years.
Okay, what was the name of your first band and were you like Nirvana? What were you?
The name of the first band was The Fold and it was definitely like Nirvana.
I just don't know why I just feel like you're singing about angsty teenage stuff.
I mean, Nirvana was one of my favorite bands.
I love
too,
Nirvana.
So, yeah. And still is. Why not? But yeah, we'd literally be out in my mom's garage, and we're talking like northern Minnesota here, so in the middle of winter, like, and winter is like 8-9 months long there.
Right.
So, you know, we'd be out there at like 30 below zero with a little fire started in the garage, and we'd just be jamming out there.
That's
all
love.
Winter long.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Do you have any siblings, brothers,
sisters? Yeah, I got one brother, and he's also in a really cool band.
Oh, really?
Based out of Minneapolis. Yeah.
So he grew up on music as well.
And yeah, we grew up playing together.
That's
aww.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, were you parents musical at all?
No, actually.
No, right?
My mom sang a little bit. She's got a really pretty voice, and she actually plays a little bit of guitar. She used to.
Right.
I don't think she does anymore. But so she had an old acoustic guitar sitting in her closet, and that's
right.
kind of how my brother and I started.
Oh,
we
how
picked
nice.
It up. But she would, like, at daycare, because, like, my community was obviously really small, so all the, you know, all the parents would switch off, like, daycare.
Right.
You know, we're talking, like, when we were, like, really young, like, 4 or 5 years old.
Uh-huh.
And my mom would sit down and play acoustic guitar and sing for us and stuff
oh,
like
nice.
That. Yeah,
aww.
She knew a couple songs.
So. Yeah.
That's
but
cute.
That was the extent of that.
Yeah,
so,
that
yeah.
would pick your interest,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
You have a mother that plays
for sure.
the guitar.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
just,
yeah.
like, open to, because sometimes it's, like, a self-conscious thing. You're like,
right.
I'm singing in front of people or whatever, but if she was just doing it, like, no big deal in front of everyone, then it's like, oh, it's no big deal.
Yeah, right? sure.
I mean, not like it's a huge crowd,
no
I'm just saying, but, like, some people are very put off by the, like, people watching me thing.
Yeah,
or, you know.
It's hard. I mean, it's you're so vulnerable when you're singing and playing, and
right.
especially singing. I think singing more than anything, you're the most vulnerable.
Especially when it's the song that you wrote about something real.
That
to me,
too.
I feel like that's like, you know, of course we all know that these songs come from somewhere, but for you to be living that private moment in front of everyone, it's like when you have a dream about somebody and then you walk in the room and you're like, oh shit, they can tell I dreamed about them last night. It's like, it must be like that all the time when you're singing a song.
Yeah,
like that, right?
I'd say that's pretty comparable.
I
yeah.
mean, that
yeah.
makes me nervous. It makes my stomach like all...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But once you get over that, it's really, you know, it makes you feel alive.
Alive.
You know,
and
that's why people, that's why I keep doing it.
And so. I'm sure that for the audience, that's what we want to see. We want to see something happening when you're singing.
Yeah,
not just
totally.
Like the words coming out of, you know, like there's artists out there that sing songs that have been written and produced by other people. And that's totally one, that's fine, but that's its own thing to watch someone sing a song that came from something within them. It's
right.
much more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And today, I don't think you can really find anybody who would write song for you to sing unless you're a big star. I mean, you gotta come up with your own stuff, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. Unless you have some friends that are songwriters or something.
Right, exactly.
Like that.
Exactly.
Or you have a lot of money to go buy some songs.
Yeah, or that.
Yeah. There you go. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Kobe Mike. He's a musician. And let's play the second song.
Cool.
It's called Walking Through the Fire. And maybe we'll listen to the lyrics first and then you can tell us about it.
Sure.
All right. So, and if you guys want to follow, you can go to SoundCloud and just search for Kobe Mike. That's COBI. And last name is MIKE. You can also just Google him. You'll find all his social media links and everything. So let's listen to Walking Through Fire.
You won't find me. I'm walking through the fire. You can't find me. I'm walking through the fire. The human that you are, that you are. Going through life, a stumbling on the road that you walk.
Kobe Mike, Walking Through the Fire. Man, I love this song.
Sweet.
Yeah, this I like that cool. one too. Yeah. I like that one a lot.
You're good, man. You're very good. Now, do you have a band that helps you with this, or do you do all the music yourself?
No, I do pretty much all the music myself. I have a few friends that will come in the studio and help me out, and, you know, they won't charge me anything, and they'll play on my stuff, which is really nice.
So, very cool.
That is nice. Yeah.
So now, and when they don't, do you, is it mostly computer sound, or do you... Do you also play other instruments as well?
Well, there's really nothing like no sounds generated by a computer. Right. Some samples, some drum samples and stuff like
okay.
that. Some keyboards, you know.
Right.
But everything's pretty much live or pretty organic.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the you do the drums and the bass.
Yeah, like some of the drums I'll sequence in and okay. then I'll have a live drummer come in and play on top of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So there's a little bit of both happening.
Right.
In all the songs.
And that's the amazing thing. Today, yeah. You're so empowered as the individual that you can do a whole production of the song
yeah,
yourself.
Creative control, totally.
Right.
Totally.
And you don't need someone else to rely on somebody else's favors, let's say, because
yeah.
often musicians don't show up. And
right.
Sure.
Right?
Totally. Well, actually, I mean... Maybe that's kind of a stigma.
It is. It's a generalization.
A lot of friends, you know, a lot of musicians are pretty punctual.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's their life.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
True.
You know what I mean?
And they love it.
I feel like in LA, too, there's so many artists trying to create things here in like all different forms that everyone's like, you could post something on Facebook and be like, I'm shooting a music video. And like, I know tons of people who would jump in. I got a camera. Right. I've got it. You know, like,
that's true.
Everyone, I think, is kind of willing to help because we're all sort of in the same position.
Yeah.
Help me, please.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So you got quite a bit of plays on there. How do you, how do people find you? Do you promote yourself or just mainly social media?
Mostly social media.
Right.
every now and then I'll get lucky and a blog will pick up one of my songs and that will generate some plays on SoundCloud or whatever. But that's, and then things like this, you guys have on the show, that really helps me get the music out there.
Do you perform live places in LA that we can see you?
Yes. I often perform live in LA. This week I'm performing downtown LA at a place called Mrs. Fish.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do two sets. I start at 5:45. And then other than that, I play like Hotel Cafe.
I was going to say, are you ever at Hotel
Wits
Cafe?
End, or I've played Satellite. I've played the Roxy.
Awesome.
The Viper Room.
No way.
Yeah, I've played a lot of places.
Look at you hitting all the spots.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, when you are live, do you have a band with you?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Lately, I've just been going out singer-songwriter style.
Really?
Yeah, because I've just been feeling like kind of stripping everything down raw lately like that. But yeah. I've been doing that for... almost the last year now, so I think it's time for me to change it up, and I'll be having some more people come and join me on stage.
Yeah,
background dancers.
Yeah.
Kidding, kidding, or not?
Or a female singer? Yeah. Do you sing?
No, I was offering. I mean, I can. I'm not tone deaf. I can carry a tune. I don't know that I'm like a singer.
Well, that's not enough to be a professional.
I do a really good impersonation of Aaron Neville, though. So
let's hear it.
I don't know if I should.
Please.
Okay, ready. Don't judge. I don't know much, but I know I love you. You just have to like make your voice go like
that.
High and low. I mean, I think I sound exactly like him.
Yeah, but it's a unique sound. You have to do it, you know.
I don't think I'd ever mistake Aaron Neville for anyone.
Or Michael McDonald. Yeah. Do you do impersonate
Michael McDonald?
I said or Michael McDonald. I love when people impersonate Michael McDonald. That is like my favorite thing ever. His voice is so like not normal.
It is unique. And I was just thinking about it the other day, how much he changed the Doobie Brothers style. Yeah. You know, I mean, he came in and totally changed their style and they were okay with it and they became even more successful.
Totally.
You know, but I mean, they used to be like much harder rock before. You know, but I love both their styles, you know, sure. I listen to it all the time. But Michael McDonald is more like adult contemporary, you know.
Yeah, it's
more,
it just sounds
more
like
pop and stuff.
Gibberish. Yeah. Like, it does nothing. It doesn't even sound like it's like, Hunter, Hunter,
Hunter.
What are you doing? I don't know. I love that. Yeah. That would be fun karaoke.
Yeah.
Just get up there and do Michael McDonald.
Yeah.
Wait, do you ever sing karaoke? Like, is that fun for you or not?
I have.
He probably doesn't.
Sure. I have fun. I mean, why not?
But professional musicians don't go there to showcase their talent.
No, but that's what I like. That's the worst to me when you're at a karaoke bar and people are like plugging their ear and like steaming their vocal cords before because they're like going to get discovered. Like, that's not what karaoke is for. If you have a good voice, great. But like, get up there and do something fun. Like, when I karaoke, I rap Gold Digger by Kanye West. Like, I'm not like up there trying to sing like Salt and Pepper. That's like one of my favorite jams.
Yeah.
What? Okay, if we had karaoke here, what would you do right now? Just to be like fun, like a fun song.
Man, you put me on the spot.
Well, you need a repertoire. You never know when you're going to be in LA and someone's
karaoke.
Like, Kobe.
Well, obviously he doesn't go to karaoke.
Oh, come on. Well, we're going to karaoke. You think
about it. What's
your
favorite karaoke spot in LA?
You know what's fun is the Belmont. It has a good karaoke night.
Okay, I don't think I've been there.
And then there's, of course, there's like Koreatown, like...
Yeah, and there's stuff in the valley in Burbank. There's Sardo's, I think, or something, which is pretty famous.
Rockin' Riley's has a karaoke night on Sunset. There, I mean, I don't have a spot, I guess. And then there's that new club. Have you heard of Blind Dragon?
No.
It's like a club, and there's private karaoke rooms in it. It's like super posh.
Yeah. Sounds cool. I have to check it out. Where is it?
Blind Dragon's like right by... it's on Sunset Boulevard right before it turns into Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And kind of across the street from Soho House.
Right.
If you know where that is.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
So it's right there. And yeah, but that's actually a fun idea to like a private karaoke room because then it's just like you and all your friends and you're just like being idiots and it's fun. Anyway, I like karaoke, but I mean, I guess for a professional musician, it's not.
Yeah.
Fun.
To them, it's just... The little
silly.
Playground, yeah.
Just silly.
Well, anyway, folks, we got to wrap up the show. Kobe, Mike, thank you so much. Tell people how they can find you again.
Hello. Thank you, first of all, for having me again, Sam.
Of course.
Thank you, Lauren.
Of course.
You guys can find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud. Those are the big ones. Instagram. Kobe Mike is the handle, and should be pretty easy to find.
Sounds good. Yeah. Well, much success with your music. Continued success with it.
Thank you.
And we'll follow your career and stuff. Just when you're big, don't forget us. You
don't forget the little people.
Exactly.
I hope to be back on the show.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Well, so that's Kobe. Thank you so much again. Lauren, it's been a pleasure.
It has.
You're welcome back anytime.
I will come back
even
anytime.
Even when Jen is here, you're welcome to come in.
We will tag
it's
team
always
you.
Fun shows.
That's right. So thank you for having me. It's been very fun. And Jen will be back tomorrow for all of you who have missed her.
Yes, ma'am. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining in. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.